Mark chapter 3, verses 11 to 12. Jesus and the evil spirits. In the previous discourse, it was Jesus and the crowd. Now, Jesus and the evil spirits. Verse 11 to 12. Whenever the evil spirits saw him, the unclean spirits, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." And then we get this response of Christ. But he gave them strict orders not to tell who he was. Mark chapter 3, verses 11 to 12. Remarkable passage, isn't it? Here are these evil spirits making this confession. "You are the Son of God." And you notice that they are absolutely right. They have no hesitation. They have no doubt. The Pharisees don't know. Tom, Dick, and Harry don't know. But the evil spirits know. James chapter 2 is explicit on this. There's no doubting in hell. There's no doubting among the evil spirits. There's no doubting with Satan. They know who this Son of God, this Son of Man, this Jesus is. "You are the Son of God." But why ever did Jesus stop them saying it? Why did he refuse their acclamation or acknowledgement, or however you want to put it? Well, I think there are two reasons at least. First of all, he wants the miracles that he's working to stand on their own two feet. John chapter 5, verse 36. John chapter 10, verse 38. Matthew 11, verse 25. Matthew 11, verses 2 to 5. You'll see what I mean. Matthew 11, 2 to 5. What's that about? John the Baptist. John the Baptist says, "Well, are you the one to come?" Now, whether he sent to Jesus for his own sake or for his disciples, it doesn't matter now. Jesus says, "Well, go back and tell him that Isaiah has been fulfilled. Tell him that the lame man are leaping and leaping like a hart, the blind see, the deaf hear, and so on. Tell him that. Tell him." And John chapter 5, verse 36, John chapter 10, verse 38, Isaiah chapter 29, chapter 35, chapter 61, predicted that this man, this Messiah, when he came, would have these healing powers to illustrate the gospel, to vindicate his ministry, to vindicate that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, and all the rest of it. But these miracles are all these signs and wonders, and they're testifying. If you don't believe what I'm saying, believe the miracles, he said. Believe the miracles. And it's a fulfillment of prophecy. So he doesn't want Satan and the evil spirits mingled up in this. The miracles will stand on their own. And this leads me on to the second point. Jesus is obviously avoiding all the so-called, inverted commas, help that might come from the evil world. The Pharisees, you see, will go on to say, but he's doing it by Beelzebub. And if he was getting and encouraging and using the support of Beelzebub, then they would have a lever against him. They would have a foothold against him. Oh, no, he's not going to have their help. No. Christ's enemies hate Christ, and they hate him and his gospel, and they'll do everything they can to stop him. Here, it's by flattery. But it might be by persecution. They'll try and crucify him. But they'll try and praise him to the skies. Can't you see that flattery is even more subtle and more dangerous than outward and sheer aggressive hatred? So, flattery is the more subtle of the two. Now, this is a warning to me. It's a warning to us, my friend. I keep trying to sound it to the evangelical world. The re-engineers of the church, they call themselves that. They re-engineer. We have to re-engineer this and re-engineer that. They have to tinker with the gospel. They have to tinker with the church. What? To adjust it, to make it suitable for pagans to find it attractive. But the gospel is never attractive. They hate Christ. They hate the gospel. They hate the promises. They hate the law of God. They can't stand it. We're told this over and over and over again in Scripture. Ephesians 2, 1 Corinthians 2, Romans 8, and so it goes on and on and on. They must be born again. The natural man and the satanic world will not abide the gospel. And they'll use flattery and fawning and scheming. to bring it down. And yet the re-engineers of the church, the evangelicals, are going out of their way to adjust to this and bring in all these pagan helps and advices and reports and schemes and programs and so on to try and make the gospel and church and everything else attractive to the pagan mind. But carnality never produced spirituality. Fun is not the same as leading to faith. We must be engaged in a constant battle against Satan and watch out for his every device. Remember, Christ said, if they've loved me, they'll love you. If they've hated me, they'll hate you. If they don't want me and my doctrine, they won't want you and your doctrine. But we've found a way now of making it palatable. No, my friend, no. Christ wants all of us, not just half of us, and he doesn't want the world's tampering with it. Christ will not compromise. He will not allow compromise, and nor must we. We don't fight for Christ with earthly weapons. We fight with spiritual weapons. We fight for God in the spiritual way. Let me read to you Richard Burnham's hymn. You heaven-bound soldiers all, ye saints redeemed with blood, on your great leader call and nobly fight for God. Arise, proclaim your captain's fame and loudly sing his conquering name. The troops of hell must fly before heaven's glorious king. Then on his arm rely, there's the secret, and he'll deliverance bring. Then you'll proclaim your captain's fame and loudly sing his conquering name. May we in every storm keep Jesus full in sight. He will our foes disarm and put them all to flight. Then we'll proclaim our captain's fame and loudly sing his conquering name. May we pursue the fight in Jesus' strength alone. Can I repeat that? May we pursue the fight in Jesus' strength alone. We don't want the world. We don't want the pagan. We don't want Satan's help. We don't want his advice. We don't want his counsel, his flattery. May we pursue the fight in Jesus' strength alone, till the great Prince of Light gives the eternal crown. Then we'll proclaim the captain's and our captain's fame and loudly sing his conquering name. You are the Son of God. Yeah, that's true enough. But I don't want you. I don't want you mouthing the great truths of the gospel. May we have holy lips and spiritual minds and spiritual hearts to serve the Lord Christ. Amen.